Well, brothers, these are not easy subjects to cover, and there are a lot of details and a lot of situations that you probably might have come across in your church life over the years. That's why I say we cannot be simplistic. And I'd like to just say this first, and that is, you know, as we're touching this matter of receiving on the one hand and not tolerating on the other hand, here we see the utter broadness of God and and his narrowness as well. You may say, these two things, how do you reconcile them? Well, don't even try. Don't even try. Recently, you know, our reading of the Bible, I hope you're all reading your Bible, by the way, brothers. We are in, we're reading these minor prophets now in Irvine, and we are in Amos, we read, Nahum and so on and so forth, those group of, and they are just either they're poetic form or whatever, or in prose form. They're just these prophets speaking the words of Jehovah. A lot has to do with the judgment of the nations. Am I right? I will judge Edom this way. I will judge the Assyrians that way. And then even the judgment of Jacob itself. and in the some of the speaking to Jacob, that's to Israel, severe, severe speaking, that those who would be in the idolatry, I will do this, just unbelievable judgments. I'm a jealous God, and you know, this will happen to your land, and this will happen to your family. Terrible things. He will send this kind of locust and that kind of locust, and they will tear everything down. They will make your land desolate. And then almost at the same time, he says, but God is a compassionate God. God is full of loving kindness. Now, you try to reconcile that. You say, if God is so loving kindness, why would God do these terrible things to his own people, his own elect? And then you say, if God is so bad, then why right away he is so full of loving kindness? Don't even try. God is God of love, of mercy, for generations. But yet God is still the God of righteousness and holiness. Those attributes that he must maintain, because that's his nature. And so here we see both. We see the side of receiving. We see the side of intolerance. The intolerance of God is a real thing. And so, brothers, in our number one understanding of the truth, we always have to understand the truth in a balanced and adequate way. The problem is we go all on one side or all on the other. All truth are twofold, am I right? We need to know the truth in that way. And number two, that is in our expressing Christ, in our living out God, in our godly living, to express God, we should express this God. There is a righteous side. There's also a loving, compassionate side. They don't cancel each other out. On the one hand, we need to be absolute for the truth uncompromisingly. On the other hand, we also love without condition. You understand? I mean, if God loves Jacob with condition, Jacob is done. And yet God will still punish and discipline. Now you understand why in Hebrews it says, a father disciplines his son, otherwise he's a bastard. He is not a son. It's out of love. Don't try to use your little puny brain to reconcile this. We say amen to God and amen to the word of God. Amen. Paul, in his writings, filled with grace, filled with my love and forgiveness and mercy, but not everywhere. There's other part of his epistles that are like stern to the uttermost. I mean, he was like speaking the truth, condemning, exposing those who are trying to damage the church life, and what? And warning, full of warning. He say, warning every man, teaching every man, admonishing every man. That's how Paul present every man full grown in Christ. Why he has to warn if there's no problem? Am I right? So these kind of a speaking or lessons is in a way a kind of warning to us. Now we come to this next lesson, lesson 63. It's clearly a warning. And with instructions in how, what is the proper way to take care of the turmoils in the Lord's recovery. So you were not there in our 9/11. But there are some books that somewhat gave some accounts of that. And when you have time, it's good to take a look at that. That gives you the context. But it was amidst those times of conflagration, of turmoil, of division, that our brother used that opportunity to instruct, to help us. This particular lesson is taken from a chapter, one chapter, and you will find in the elders' training, how to take care of the turmoils. I myself read this I don't know how many times and still receiving much, much help from his speaking. All right. Let me go through this. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. I have a couple of things at the end I'd like to say. Okay, number one, turmoil among the children of Israel in the Old Testament as recorded in Numbers. You know, Brother Lee said this during those days. He said, as I look back, you know, the history of the recovery is full of turmoil. He said every 6 to 10 years. Now, in this recently, we have passed that that point. It's almost like it's due. Yeah, the Lord have mercy. The Lord really have mercy. You know, I pray. I told you I pray, and I ask you all to pray. Lord, whatever happened to me, do not let me become a problem to the church. Put me aside, whatever, but don't let me become a problem to your recovery. I pray that prayer. I think it's a good prayer to pray. At least I would not be the factor of turmoil. However, turmoil is history. Turmoil seems to be a kind of a destiny. Turmoil has been a fact. It occurred and it recurred again and again, both in the Old and in the New Testament. So Brotherly just said that these turmoils are almost necessary when they happen. When they happen for our purification. He said that even the turmoils is not just to expose the wrong ones. He said actually the turmoils is to approve the pure ones. I like that view, that you may be a good one, but you need the turmoil to approve you, to pass that test, and therefore be further purified. Well, if you take away turmoils, actually, the Bible will be very short. And in this sense, all these problems are a necessary process of God's work of gaining what he is after from a negative side. A, 3 days after the nation of Israel was formed with the tabernacle and the priesthood, they had their first occasion of turmoil, just 3 short days. Can you believe it? You know, I still remember the last message of this last training, Brother Ron's message. We did it. Remember that? We've done it. 3 days later. 3 short days later. They had their first occasion of turmoil in Taberah, where the children of Israel were murmuring evil. After this murmuring, the mixed multitude lusted exceedingly for flesh to eat. Later, that's one case, later Miriam and Aaron, Moses' elder sister and brother, rebelled by speaking against Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. Because of their rebellion, Miriam became leprous and had to be quarantined for 7 days so that this leprosy would not spread. In the first case, it was lust. In the second case, it's rebellion against God's deputy authority. C, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up with 250 leaders of the assembly to oppose Moses. The punishment for this rebellion was threefold. One, God caused the earth to open up and swallow up the three leaders with their families. I mean, that was prehistory, and it never happened again. That people can go to Sheol nonstop, on a nonstop flight, direct to Sheol. And that should be a kind of warning to us on the seriousness of the sin of rebellion. There's nothing more serious than that. 2, fire came forth from Jehovah and consumed all 250 leaders. In this case, it's not the people that rebelled, it was the leaders. And that coincides with our experience in the Lord's recovery. It's always co-workers or elders who led the rebellions. 3, a plague came in and killed 14,700 in one day. If that was not stopped, it would have been more. D, the last big turmoil and failure in the book of Numbers occurred when the children of Israel committed fornication and idolatry corporately by the snare of Balaam's teaching with Balak's plot. Because of this failure, 24,000 died by a plague. These all happened after they met God at Mount Sinai. After all of that, these things happened. Some were saying that in the New Testament, this occurred in the church life. This is not before Pentecost. This is after Pentecost. Until today. E, by the time of Numbers 26, God had gained a new people, a people who had been purged by God's judgments through his divine dealings. Through all the turmoil in the wilderness, the children of Israel were fully purged, purified, and filtered. That's what I mentioned earlier. God's judgments is needed for purging, for purifying. In order for God to gain a peculiar people, a personal possession, he has to purge and purify by way of his dealings and his judgments. Now we come to the New Testament, turmoil among the Lord's people in the New Testament. A, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus selected 12 of his disciples and appointed them to be apostles. One among the disciples selected by the Lord Jesus was Judas, who also became a betrayer, even with the Lord. There was a Judas. There was betrayal. B, during the Apostle Paul's lifetime, the church life passed through turmoils that were full of problems. 1, after Paul had a long talk with the elders of the church in Ephesus, he warned them of fierce wolves who would come in among them, not sparing the flock. That was his last word to the Ephesian elders. He never saw them again. That was his last meeting with them. And that meeting was filled with not only charging them, but there was filled with warning. There's going to be wolves. He said that men would rise up from among them to speak perverted things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Our brother quoted this verse very much in this last turmoil. The speaking of perverted things, and then to draw people away after themselves. C, turmoil is the destiny of the progressing church, the pilgrim church. While the church is journeying on this earth as a corporate pilgrim, it is destined to suffer turmoil. You know, I don't know the prayer to ask the Lord to spare the recovery from turmoil will ever be answered. I mean, pray as we may, I have no guarantee, no assurance that will be answered, because it seems turmoil is part of the journey. But I think the prayer that the Lord would deliver you from that turmoil, that you would not be a problem in a turmoil, I think that should be prayed. that should be prayed. We need such turmoil for our purification. According to our point of view, turmoil is not very good, but according to our real situation, turmoil is needed. Therefore, we should not expect to remain free from turmoil in the church life all the time. Okay, three, the present turmoil in the Lord's recovery. This is 1989, or somewhere around there. A, these things, I got them memorized. I mean, I almost put them in a plastic thing like your prayer card. You understand what I mean? To me, it's that memorable, that needful for me to be reminded of them. Number one, instigated by the evil one. B, carried out by the perverted ones. C, with the winds of teaching. D, a test to the faithful ones. And E, a purification to the recovery. What a view. What a helpful view of what a turmoil is and how a turmoil comes about. Please ponder on this, brothers. Please reflect on these things so that we may be preserved. Now, concerning the matter of a purification, we have 2 points. A, one, a rebellion always brings about some sifting among God's people. This sifting can be considered as a kind of purification exercised by the Lord's sovereignty to purify his collective people. Two, the occurring of a rebellion also renders some purification to the faithful ones in their intention, their motive, their purpose, their aims, and other matters. Let me go back to the previous turmoil, Don. That's what you referred to too. Now I'm going back to the first one. That is in the late 70s. And surely it happened here, it happened down there, down where I am. And I remember that. I was, in a way, touched by that rebellion. I think some of us were. And it was a purification time. I was young. I was in a small church where I was, down south. And I remember that as a result of the purification of the Lord, you know, through Brother Lee's help, ministry, and speaking, I don't know how many months, but many months. This is 78, 79, around that. After these ones left, you know, these people left. I don't know how many months I spent just to repent. Not in a general way, oh Lord, I repent. But because that rebellion that I touch brought out the leprosy that is in me. You know, we all have that thing in us. It's just hiding or dormant. But when it's the temperature is right, that thing got activated. And you found out, goodness, it's not just the people who left, but I have the same sickness. And for months, I have to deal with the Lord. Intention, motive, purpose, aims. That if I were not wrong in these things, I would not have been drawn or affected by that rebellion. And those dealings and those judging by the Lord, that light from the Lord comprise a kind of purification process. And I don't mean after those months I'm pure. I don't mean that. But I do mean that happened. And so there's a kind of an approving process taking place. So I say that when these things happen, don't just center on the people who make the problems. We need to spend time with the Lord to be judged by Him and to be purified by Him. Now, number four, the proper way of to take care of the problems in the Lord's recovery. There are the proper ways, then there's the improper way to take care of these problems. Again, this is worthy of memorizing, of remembering them. You know, certain things you have to remember. You remember that word in the word of love? Brother Lee say, put out how to follow. You know, how to follow a coworker or something like that. That was turned into some kind of frame. I consider this outline at that level in a negative side of things, right? Very, very useful. And if it's brought to your memory when things happen, this will be very preserving. Okay, A, with a genuine and sincere concern for the Lord's recovery. I mean, these are so helpful, brothers. So helpful. These people who cause a problem, they say the recovery is veering off. The ministry has changed. The recovery has become a Babylonian system, you know, etc. But they say these things, do those things without a genuine and sincere concern, but only with their view of things to change certain things, to effect certain things. They even claim they are here trying to protect the Lord's recovery, when actually that is not the case. One, without any biased views concerning any matter. It's hard not to be biased, brothers. We all are biased people. To be truly objective is not an easy exercise, but we need to be. Two, without any element of self-interest, self-plotting, self-esteem, and self-consideration, without element of the self. Not easy. Very, very difficult. Almost impossible. If we're considering ourselves all the time in this way, we're unable to take care of the problems in the recovery. In order to take care of the problems, we must be pure, tested, and checked by the Lord. When we have a pure, genuine, and sincere concern for the Lord's recovery, we are qualified to take care of the problems. It's like you are the surgeon. You go into this brain surgery and you forgot to wash your hands. My goodness, you can cause more problem to the patient by bringing in the germs. So we need to be tested and checked by the Lord first, to see if our concern for the Lord's recovery is pure, is genuine or not. Otherwise, we better not touch it. We're not qualified. B, through the proper and common fellowship of the body. This is very important. Commit the matter to the proper and common fellowship of the brothers, of the co-workers, of the elders. That safeguards us. One, in love. If we're short of love, we're disqualified. Two, without any private circle. My goodness, talk about private circles in those days. Everywhere is a private circle. I mean, really private. You don't know when they meet. You don't know what they talk about. It's not in the body. It's underground. It's covert. without any party spirit. Even there should not be a spirit of a party. We feel this and that. We believe this and that. I got people lined up. I got a sheet of signatures. The party spirit. For without any hidden secrecies, there's too much secrecies going on in those days. Secret meetings, secret talks, secret dinners. 5, by a conference of the leading ones. The way to solve the problem is bring the matters to a conference of the leading ones. A, in Acts 15, a proper open conference with the leading ones took place in Jerusalem to consider the matter of circumcision and the faith. This is not even a rebellion. A matter of the faith was brought up. The Judaic practice of circumcision. Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem in order to have fellowship with the elders and the apostles. They have a burden. They feel this matter is being pushed, imposed on the Gentiles, this matter of these Judaic practices, observations. So instead of forming some secret party and doing this and that, they brought the whole matter up to the source, which is Jerusalem, to meet with all the apostles and elders in an open way, in a proper way. C, avoiding any attempt at conspiracy. There's no hidden agendas or plans or plots to achieve something. In that case, that last big turmoil, it is to overthrow the ministry of Witness Lee, to shut down the Living Stream ministry. That was the even declared burden, quote, quote, that they have. Keeping everything in the light. That's a big point. 2, condemning the seeking of sympathy, a lot of sympathy seeking. 3, abandoning backbiting, evil speaking, and death spreading. You know, brothers, during that time, Brother Lee even said that this turmoil, this 80s one, this turmoil, so many things that happen are so unreasonable, illogical, that it is even beyond human, the human ability to concoct them. He said there is a darkness behind this rebellion. That means the demons and the evil spirits were there. I mean, I saw with my own eyes, dear brothers, that shoulder to shoulder, some I respect very much, some were my peers, just becoming another person, another person. Even in their visage, in their countenance, in the way they speak and conduct themselves, it's like, do I know you, brother? Where is that old so-and-so that I know? They changed. They changed. So I can testify that when the door is open, it is not just some human instruments carrying out something of their desire or intention. I tell you, the enemy's devices is to sneak in, to follow that through with his cohorts, with his demons and evil spirits to carry out, to ravage the church, to damage and destroy in an unbelievable way. I mean, brothers who have clear minds, really clear minds, just like flipped overnight, like they ate something, and they start to think differently. It's almost like that. Now, I can tell you, because I was there, I was right in the middle of the storm. I was in the eye of the storm. And things that happened to these ones, all I knew quite well. Like hell was opened up. All manners of darkness just came out. D, holding to the unique goal. This is very important. Don't let go of our unique goal. What is our goal? One, the edification of the saints. Two, I think we better all read this, huh? Number one, for the edification of the saints. Two, for the benefit of the church. Three, for the building up of the body of Christ. Four, of the oneness of the body. Five, for the spreading of the Lord's gospel. You see, we've got to hold to these goals in our taking care of problems. Right? All this almost all thrown out the window. In the name of helping the recovery. E, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, not according to anything else. One, without twisting and without any interpretation out of context. Two, without any mixing in of human ideas. Three, without any element of tradition. And four, but with an open and seeking spirit. Do you detect the kind of purity there in this kind of exercise, even touching the word? I mean, all kinds of scriptures was being thrown about in those days. And if you are not careful, you would say, "Well, that sounds right. That sounds right. I never thought of that. How come this was never taught? This and this and that." Okay. Do you agree with me? We should have a binder with all these things in plastic, right? In a three-ring binder. I think this should occupy one sheet. This Brother Lee's outline should one sheet. Five, the hidden divisive factors in the past. Now, this is looking back. Why? What are the factors? Let me read. A, the intention to do an extra work in the unique work of the Lord's recovery. This is a word to the workers, co-workers. B, the tendency to keep separate territories, a cluster of churches, that's my territory, to keep it separate. I hope Northern California is not a territory in that sense, or anybody's territory. It's just an area with a cluster of churches for the sake of convenience, you see. Number three, the way of not having one's work mingle with others' work. This is again a word especially to co-workers, that the work would not be commingled. D, the hidden expectation of being a prominent figure in the Lord's work. That is there. E, the negligence regarding the keeping of the one accord in the Lord's recovery. We become loose, we become careless in this matter of keeping the one. You know, Paul says what? You have to what? Endeavor. You have to strive to keep the oneness of the Spirit. That means if you do not apply, if you're not aggressive in keeping the oneness, you're negligent. It will slide. It will fall apart. So I hope for all of us brothers, we would remember these things. Okay? Now I'd like to say a few things to conclude this morning's fellowship. So, I have some questions posed to me, and not in any particular order. So, one question is, in today's terrible, terrible immoral age, this kind of immorality, gross sins, in the form of fornication, and even not just the usual form of fornication. You understand what I mean? Homosexuality, the same sex, all these are now becoming mainstream and the norm in our society. Which, by the way, let me tell you, it's in Roman Empire. It's one thing that led to the fall of the Roman Empire is the tearing down of the moral fabric of that country. Not that it was that moral before, but the hedonism, the licentiousness, the great immorality of the worst kind took over that empire. And weakened it as a result. This is history. Today we're facing this. No wonder it says the mystery of lawlessness is waiting to be revealed. This is all lawless. You know, at the time of Noah, remember with Noah when he built the ark? The humankind would have descended into the worst situation. Into the worst situation. And two things was characteristic of that era. One is lawlessness. The other is violence. Don't you agree with me today? These are the two things that characterize our age. Lawlessness of every kind. Everything unrighteous is running rampant and rules the world. Unrighteousness is the norm. And of course, violence of every sort. We're living in this society, brothers. What should we do? Even this kind of thing affected our own people, our own young people, our own saints. And then we would contact people on campus here and there, and to them, this is just how we live. This is normal. Am I right? You are abnormal. You are abnormal. We are just normal. And I don't want to get into this whole big matter. I gave three messages in FTTA, three, to study the matter of homosexuality as a sin. I did a Bible study of the whole Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the whole Bible. Three messages. So, brothers, what are we to do? What are we to do with new ones? And you know, today people living together, they don't get married. Am I right? This is just common. Well, brothers, I would say this. Again, back to the two sides. Number one, the church is the church. We never would compromise the holy living of the church. The church is holy as God is holy. The Lord says, sanctify her by the washing and cleansing of the word. Sanctify is to make holy, outwardly and inwardly. If the church lost its holiness, it has lost its testimony. The world is unholy. So in the church, we cannot drop the standard of God's holiness. This is his nature. We must maintain that. And of course, his righteousness as well. So we would not compromise. We will not dilute it. We will not dumb down. No way. Because it's the word of God. And it is God himself. So in this sense, no tolerance. No tolerance for sin. Especially this kind of gross sin. But here we are, some of our own, some new ones we have contacted who don't know anything from anything because that's how they were taught from they were young, by maybe their parents and their teachers and their professors. So we have a job to do. The job is to teach them and to help them to know God's word and to know God himself. We cannot just preach the gospel just of you're a vessel, you're a glove, God wants to fill you, and leave it at that. Do you know the gospel is more than that? Do you also know that the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom? That is, you enter into the realm of the holy God. Do you know the gospel requires repentance? What is repentance? That is to turn away from all these things and turn to God. Do you know that the gospel requires baptism, which is a testimony of the burial of the old man who live in these things? Do you know that we're taught that when we believe in the Lord, we're a new man, that we should live a new life, that we are again and again to abandon the traditions of our fathers, a life in the flesh, the world, etc., etc.? These are in the Word. So we need, as part of our shepherding and care for them, teach them these things. Now, I do not use the word blast them, all right? Or, you know, hit them, their head. You need wisdom. You need love. You need care. But we cannot compromise and say it's okay. No, it's not okay. You're okay, but God is not okay. Then you say, well, we will lose them. Sometimes we may. But it's not our trying to push people away or our trying to lose them. We love them. We do. God loves the world. God loves every person. every kind of sinner, even the grossest kind, God loves. But while he loves, he is yearning that they would turn from those things to be his own, his holy people. So we have a job to do, and that is to shepherd. And understandably, this is not an easy thing in today's world, because you're talking about changing a mind that has been brainwashed their whole life. It's a warfare. It's a warfare to conquer their mind and to bring their mind into subjection. This is not an easy thing. But I will tell you, we have to do it. We cannot just say, it's hard, we don't do it. No, we cannot. So there needs to be much wisdom, much patience, but much what? Much honesty and much firmness in this matter for their salvation. For their salvation. I know, because I have to deal with these things, you know, especially on campus, young people, you know what I mean. It happened quite a lot nowadays. Amen?
Amen?
Eventually, what a person will do, it is their decision. We cannot force people. In fact, the law would not allow you to force people. Now, in this day and age, you know what I mean. They can sue you, they can do this or that. But we do have the right. We do have the right in this country still to practice what we believe in according to the word. Okay. By the way, we are putting together, with the help of DCP, a generic version of bylaws for the churches in this climate. Because of this climate we're living in, we need certain kind of protection, even legally, because it's minefields everywhere. You know, you understand what I mean. And there's a law of the land. So we need to be prudent and take care of these things in a proper way. So I say this. Then the second, you mind giving me a few minutes? And I will end. The second thing that was brought up to me is, you know, so many people, many who have left us from the turmoil, this and that. It's hard. I myself have this experience, especially of people even that are related in the family. You understand? That is especially painful. So they, at a certain point, left the recovery and took their own way. What should we do? What should we do? Well, we quarantine a certain few, right? Four names we especially mentioned because they were leaders in the past turmoil. Even with these ones, if they show a sign of genuine, full, complete repentance, we still love them. We do. We do. But sorry, up to this point, one has passed away. Three are still alive. As far as we know, there is not such a move, such a sign. But there were others who are there, and there are others who are their close followers, who also inflicted a tremendous amount of damage in the local churches. And there needs to be a full repentance as well, because they have dishonored, they have damaged the church, the saints. And we know here and there, there are some who have turned, some who have repented, and they have come back. Then there is a larger number of brothers and sisters, actually, who did not know the right hand from the left. You know what I mean. they just got blown away. And some of these are, you know, due to family ties, natural relationship, sympathy, friendship, and all these kind of things. Well, brothers, I do feel we need to remember them. We need to pray for them. Whether they will make a turn to come back and so on, we don't know. That is up to the Lord and up to them. But I think certainly we should pray. We talk about, I think, even in our current burden to have 15% increase, am I right? Have you forgotten that? Don't forget that, okay? Just because we're talking about turmoil doesn't mean we forgot 15%. All right. It should include the recovery and the restoration of some of these dear ones. Some are just really without food. They are actually homeless. They are just wandering, just like some Christian. So we have to have that burden. We have to care for them. Of course, some are quite hardened, and they just refuse to turn. They have something very bitter within them, something unforgiving within them, and it's hard to even talk with them. There are those situations still, but we still need to love them. But they need to be open. There's a brother down in the south who was away, and then somehow one day he got the book, the fermentation book. Not some positive book, the book on fermentation. Somehow he got it. And he read that from back to back. And while he was reading, he was just weeping and weeping and weeping. And through that, he began his journey back to the church life. And today he's a lovely brother in the church life. Brothers, so this can happen. Am I right? But of course, these persons also need to deal with the Lord themselves so that they're right with the Lord and right with the church and right with the saints. For them to be in the full fellowship. So I'd like to bring up those points. Now, there are a lot of cases and a lot of rather complex situation that you may have in your mind. How do we handle this? How do we handle that? I think the principles are all here. We gave this to you this morning, but there's a lot of finesse and a lot of case-by-case situation that you really need the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's patience and the Lord's leading and fellowship to handle these things, these various cases, properly. Okay? Amen. I don't know. This is 104. You have any question related to that burning that you must get an answer this morning? Okay. I think our stomach trumps the questions. Well, dear brothers, how about we have some prayer now, and then we can end this training.